Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, and we're using the New International Version. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, when the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believing." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, but have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Just take a moment so that you know a little bit more about me. I went to a seminary at Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. I really appreciated that experience. They let me in that seminary, and then, praise God, they let me out of the seminary. So I served churches in Virginia and in Washington State. I was a hospital chaplain for a year and a half. And then with my family, we drove across the United States. That was quite an adventure to get here to the Tri-Cities area in Johnson City, and it's my very great privilege and honor to be able to preach here as Pastor Ginger takes a day off. You can't preach every Sunday the whole year. You know, you wear yourself out. You got to take a little time for rest, and that is what Pastor Ginger is doing. So thank God for her. She's a great preacher and a great administrator of the church. So I wanted to just take a moment to say that this is an opportunity to talk about the scripture, about Jesus Christ. But as we think about our lives together, it's probably a good thing to exercise a tiny little bit of caution in our lives. Don't you think? A little caution is probably a good thing. And for instance, our parents probably told us this at some point. They said, "Don't believe everything you read in the newspapers." Maybe that is good advice, isn't it? Don't believe everything you read, because some of it might be true and some of it might not be. Now, the other side of that coin is it's probably not good to get too far in the opposite direction and get cynical, not believe anything, or skeptical, be very hard-headed. That's probably not good either. It's a little self-defeating to face life like that. But a little caution is a good thing. Now, for instance, now here's a good story. This story was published by Henry Luce. A mother asks her 10-year-old son what he has learned in religion class this particular Sunday morning. "Well," the boy replies, "teacher told us about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea." Oh boy. "They were being held captive by the Egyptians. So God sent Moses behind enemy lines to rescue them. When they got to the Red Sea, Moses ordered the engineers to build a pontoon bridge. Then, after they crossed over, they looked back and saw the Egyptian tanks coming. Quick as a flash, Moses picked up his walkie-talkie and called the Air Force. and asked for bombers to fly in and blow up the bridge so the Egyptians couldn't get across and catch up with them. At this point, Mom, you know, something's not quite right. So she says to her son, "But Bobby, is that really the way teacher told the story?" "Well, not exactly," admits Bobby, "but if I told you the truth, you'd never believe me." Well, yes, our human nature is prone to misunderstandings. That's our human nature. We naturally tend to erect barriers to outside events. When we misunderstand what's going on, and when what's happening makes us uncomfortable, sometimes we build barriers. You know what I'm talking about. We can think of these barriers as mental doors that we erect, looking out at the unknown, but closing ourselves in, keeping the unfamiliar out, keeping what is strange away from us. And as we think back on the experience of the eyewitnesses, you know, John, the Apostle John, was an eyewitness to Jesus. He saw and felt and heard what happened in the life of Jesus Christ. And he saw the resurrection, he saw the death of Jesus and the resurrection, and we realize that the disciples who were with John also were erecting doors to keep the world out. Let's face it, the apostles were afraid. But these disciples, for instance, the Apostle John, write about their fear in the Gospels. And that's what we have in our Bibles. We have the Gospel of John. And the eyewitness wrote what he saw and heard and felt. And we heard it, Hugh read it very, very well this morning. They write about how they closed the door and lock the door to all the dangers outside, and how the risen Jesus Christ comes and stands among them in the room. The risen Christ appears to them in a locked room and offers them peace, the opposite of fear. There may be somebody here today who sometimes puts up metal locked doors to keep the scary world outside and knows what I mean. Jesus comes through our mental locked doors and offers us peace. "Peace be with you," Jesus says to his astonished disciples. And he shows them the evidence of his resurrection. The holes in his hands and in his feet and the spear wound in his side. The eyewitness John says in this gospel that Jesus then breathes on them the breath of God. You know, in the Acts of the Apostles, the Holy Spirit comes in the room and flames of fire appeared on the disciples. They became apostles and they went out in the street and they preached, and 3,000 people became Christians that very day. But in John, we hear a slightly different story of the appearance of the Holy Spirit. He comes in and he breathes on them and gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. They believe that Jesus, the risen one, standing right before them in a locked room, is the Son of God. But one of them is not present that day to see Jesus' wounds, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that one who's absent that day is the disciple Thomas. Now, Thomas sets up concrete criteria. He's a very factual kind of person. He knows exactly what he wants to see and feel before he believes this is Jesus. He wants to use his senses, touch and sight. These are Thomas's concrete criteria for how he's going to believe that he's actually seeing the risen Jesus. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." That's pretty concrete. A week later, the disciples and Thomas with them this time are again in a locked room. Though the doors are locked, Jesus comes in anyway and wishes them peace. Jesus turns to the doubting one to Thomas and asked him to see the evidence. Jesus says, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus says, and believe. Thomas's concrete criteria are met to his satisfaction. And he believes. This is Thomas's confession of faith that shows us he believes in the risen Jesus Christ. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Now, what do we know about this guy, Thomas? He's an ordinary human being, no different than you are right now, except in the century in which he lives. He's what we would call, he's one of the ancients. Yet in all other respects, Thomas is, well, us. We like to rely on our senses too, our senses of sight and touch. But we have only this eyewitness account, this gospel, on which to make our decisions about Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks to all of us through this gospel, which the Apostle John knows very well. He wrote it down for us to read. John writes down his eyewitness experience of Jesus. Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. The Lord blesses us when we believe without seeing. When we don't look at the concrete evidence with our eyes, and without feeling Jesus' wounds with our hands. Jesus Christ has a way of coming through locked doors. We set up these doors to keep out the fearful things, to keep out the world. The Christ comes to Thomas and to his disciples through a locked door, in a way that they would recognize as credible, to offer them salvation through belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ comes into our lives also to bless us, you and me, to bless us. We are all like modern day Thomas. And yet Jesus asks us to believe without seeing and feeling with our senses. When we are paralyzed by the kind of fear that causes a mental locked door, then Jesus comes through that door and speaks words and offers spiritual evidence to his presence with us, to which we respond like Thomas, my Lord and my God. Well, then we answer our own question this morning. We asked, how can I believe in something I cannot see? Our answer is that we believe the eyewitness accounts left to us by the apostles in the Gospels of Jesus Christ, in our Bibles. John was an eyewitness. He stood at the foot of the cross with Mary and watched Jesus. And then after Jesus was raised from the dead, John saw him resurrected. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, asks us to remember him and to believe in him so that through amazing grace, we will receive the gift of eternal life as a gift from God. Here's something we can truly believe. The risen Jesus Christ is here with us today in the sanctuary, blessing us and asking us to believe in him. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Please pray with me as we get closing our sermon this morning. Heavenly Father, you give us life and joy. You know our names and provide for us all we need. Teach us to trust in you and listen to your voice. Guide us with your teachings. May we be surrounded by your love and always praise your name. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, let us rise to life with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
God's word tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. In the Psalms, he talks about that. So let us sing, "Surely the presence of the Lord." We'll go through it two times.
Now this benediction. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. And the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. God is able. God is faithful. God is sufficient. God is near. Brothers and sisters, Christ is risen, risen indeed. Go in peace. Amen.